thank God for giving me this opportunity to stand before you. You all might are familiar with this old story. A small boy during his school time, he started to steal small things like pen or book, and he gave to his mother, "Mom, look what I got." And mom was happy and put aside, "Okay, son, get me some more next time." So the days passed, the boy has grown, and now he started to steal big, big things. Maybe if we put to the present world, he might have started to steal the recent gadgets or a luxury car, or he might have robbed into the bank. But at some point, he got caught, and the judgment was passed on to execute him. During the time of execution, before, he said, "I want to talk secretly to my mother's ear." And the mom came near to him, and he bit the mother's ear. And now everyone was surprised, and even the mother was surprised at his act. And the boy told, "Mom, if you could have stopped me or advised me in a correct way, I could have given up those things, and I couldn't end up in losing my life." And this story may sound simple, but there's quite lots of moral lessons there for us. Sometimes even in our life, through carelessness, by neglecting spending time with God or worshiping and prayer, and even we may follow wrong health habits where we can spend more time in advancement with God, but we lose the kingdom of God through our carelessness. And the same thing, if we turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 19 and verses from 16 to 21, where the young ruler came and asked Jesus. Let's read it to you. From verse 16, "Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?' 'Why do you ask me about what is good?' Jesus replied, 'There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments.' 'Which ones?' the man inquired. Jesus replied, 'Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself.' 'All these I have kept,' the young man said. 'What do I still lack?' Jesus answered, 'If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me.' When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth." Now, as this young man, he got everything and he thought he obeyed everything, but when Jesus pointed out what he is supposed to do, and he failed to carry his cross, and he failed to self-neglect himself and to help others, the wealth became his possession, and we can see he lost his kingdom. As we read in our scripture reading in Matthew 6, verses from 19 to 21, how we can store and what's problem with here. And sometimes you may wonder, you may not have the problem here, but when you the places where they steal, you may have to check your packet, whether you got all your wallets with you, or sometimes you can't come back safely. And you may think you can get all your gold and other things and you can be safe. No. We had a couple of years ago the similar incidents when we went to London. After purchasing everything, we finished our shopping, and I heard a big noise behind me. I thought someone is joking or they might be front to my cousin, but they are not. But he came to snatch Sinny's chain, and there was no safe, but we thank God that we are safe. And we may think we can keep everything, but there's no safety. So how we can, and what Jesus was talking about, if I think I want to invest my money in the bank, sometimes the bank may go nothing, and you won't get anything from your hand. And we always think we want to invest small thing, but when you are getting it back, we aim to get high amount. How we can? Because we know there's no proper security here. And where we have the security, proper security. And Jesus invites us to store treasures in heaven. How we can? Often we think the possessions what we got is ours, but all things came from God, because we created in the image of God. And if we read in chapter Genesis 2 verse 15 says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. And the God want to test Adam and Eve to make sure whether they are following God's instruction, but they failed. When they failed, but God didn't live without the hope, but he promised that he will come as a substitute and he will rescue us, as we read in 3:15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. And later on, that promise was fulfilled when Jesus died on the cross. And we are not supposed to follow others, but we are supposed to follow Christ's example, because he came and died for our substitute, as written in 1 Peter 1:18-19, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So we are to follow Christ's example. And now, how we are going to store? And I like Pastor Mark Finlay's definition here. It means to say, Jesus Christ, my anchor is in you, and I'm not going to be in slavery to the world's materialist system of secular monetary bondage. And Lord, everything I have, something you gave me in any way. And I want to build a character that will endure the test of time, that will not build on materialistic values, and to build a life not on something that will vanish quickly, but will last forever, and to build on a solid thing. And if we can say we have everything, but if we read in Matthew 16:26, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet he forfeits his soul, or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And we can have everything, but if we lose our soul, then there's no point in anything. And also, there's a warning given to us in Luke 12:20. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? We may think, yes, I might have got a lot of money with me, or you may think you won the lottery, or you might have gained a million of pounds, and you can plan anything that, okay, I can put this money for my mortgage, and I can put this money for different things. And sometimes the valley will go down, as it mentioned in James 5:1-3. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. And here, the corrosion can be come when, like the one who got one talent, who hid his treasure without using, that got rotten. And the same way, if you're not using it, and that will get wasted, and no one will be benefited. But God wants us to use everything what He has given to us. But God can use other things, but He wants us to do, because without that we won't understand the love of God. He wants to show the love what He has shown to us, so that the others may see and glorify God. And the same test what Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden, the same test is given to us to prove whom we are going to serve. Are we going to serve God, or we're going to follow Satan? The blessing and cursing are kept before us, and it's our choice what we are going to choose. Are we going to say like Joshua, me and my household will serve God, or we are going to serve idols? And that's our choice what we are going to do. But it's the same privilege given to us to lay up treasures in heaven, but not to lose them. And we may have different talents. We may have a speech, or we may have a property, everything, but we all have to use it for the glory of God. But it doesn't mean that it's wrong in sharing, it's not wrong in acquiring wealth, but how you're going to use it. Are you going to reserve it for yourself, or you're going to share with others what God has given to you? It may be hard. You may think, I worked hard, and why I need to give it? But there's a voice in it. Sometimes God calls you to share what you have and give it to others. Sometimes He may take it away to see how you are doing, what you're going to do with it. And even Job had a wealth and everything, and he has taken away. The reason is, Satan accused Job that he is worshipping you because you're providing him everything, and you remove it everything. And the same way, the same kind of test is given to us. Are we serving God because He is giving us, or we are serving Him every time? And we need to be loyal and faithful to God. And another thing, we need to give tithe. And tithe is the important thing to acknowledge that everything what we come, it comes from God, because we have to honor all the first fruits with our tithe to the God. And as we read in Malachi 3, there's a wonderful promise and warning given to us from verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me, but you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. And sometimes we may think, why have to give tithe? But sometimes through tithe and the other things, what we do, we share. First, we glorify God that everything, it comes from Him, and we acknowledge that God is a provider of everything. And we may see people in heaven who, through your work and through your generosity, they might thank you, brother, because of your generosity, and we can able to come to God. And it's our responsibility also to give tithe for the work of God. And not only by giving tithe, and also we have the job to share the good news with others wherever we are working about the love of God. And children are the wonderful blessing which you are given to us to, and it's as a parent, it's our responsibility to bring up the child in a better way. If not, we will be questioned again, what you have done to my flock? Are we going to misguide the children and to lose their eternity, or we are bringing up the children to be in their eternity? And God also condemns our fasting with our selfishness, but He wants to rescue those who are in the bondage and the other, those who are in struggle. But when we do this one, as we read in Isaiah, it says, the light shine before man so that God will be glorified. So let our light shine so that many will be added into the kingdom. And we have our own friends and relatives. We don't want them to lose in the kingdom of God. May God help us to serve Him faithfully and do His work. And faithfully to grow in Him day by day. Amen. I know the thoughts that you think towards me, the thoughts of peace and not of evil. You sent your Son to die for me, to be my future and my hope. Lord, you are faithful. When I will call to you, you're always there when I need you. And in this life, when the world falls down, Lord, you alone are faithful and true. Take you home for all eternity. Lord, you are faithful. When I will call to you, you're always there when I need you. And in this life, when the world falls down, Lord, you alone are faithful. Dry my eyes and calm all of my fears. It's the promise that you have made. When the former things have passed away, Lord, you are faithful. When I will call to you, you're always there. When I need you, and in this life, when the world, Lord, you alone are
You.